We read for our scripture reading this morning from Psalm 23, probably one of the most well-known and probably one of the most used chapters in the Bible. Many have learned to quote it as a child. Many scholars have taught from it. So you have it on both ends. I mean, it's simple enough that a little child learns to memorize it. It's deep enough that you could teach from it for weeks and weeks and weeks and still not exhaust the truth that's in it. There have been many sermons preached from Psalm 23. And of all the scriptures, this is probably the one that's used most to comfort people's hearts in time of loss. I read a story, it's been a long time ago now, I was reminded of it this week, about a little girl that was trying to memorize the 23rd Psalm, and she said the first verse, she says, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and she may not have had the verse right, but I certainly agree with her theology. If the Lord is our shepherd, that's all we want. That's all we need. This morning, I'm going to go down to verse 4, and I'm going to use a phrase to kick off my message. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." This morning I'm going to preach a sermon I've entitled, "He's With Us in the Valleys." And I have seven valleys that I want to mention this morning. The last one will be that one, the valley of the shadow of death. But there's other valleys that are prominent in the Bible that represent different things in our lives. And I want to be an encouragement this morning to every single person that's here. And to be an encouragement, I want to remind you that whichever one of these valleys that you may be in or you're about to enter into, that you have a God that is with you. So, let me just get started. Seven different valleys. The first one is the Valley of Siddim. This was a valley of slime pits. This was a valley that was formed when God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the Valley of Sin. You remember the story in the book of Genesis about those two cities. They were wicked cities. They committed wicked sins. They ignored God. And God came down to Abraham and said, "I'm going to go to these two cities and I'm going to destroy them. But first of all, I'm going to go down and make sure that what I've heard is right." And so God came down and delivered Abraham that message. And of course, Abraham's nephew, Lot, was living in the city of Sodom. And Abraham begged for the life of his nephew. He said, "God, what if there's 50 righteous people in Sodom? Will you destroy that city?" And God said, "No, if there's good people, if there's 50 good people, righteous people in the city of Sodom, I'll withhold my punishment." And Abraham got it all the way down to 10 people. And said, "If there's only 10 righteous people, God, will you spare the city?" And God said, "Yes, I will spare it." And those of you that know the story know that there wasn't 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom. And so God rained down on the city of Sodom and on the city of Gomorrah fire and brimstone to punish the people for their sin. So, the Valley of Siddim was a valley of sin. Now, I'll be just very direct this morning. There are some people that are probably in this service that's where you're living this morning. You're living in the valley of sin. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, and what you face for all eternity is an existence apart from God, an existence apart from Christ. I want to tell you this morning, you are not in that valley of sin alone. That God is there in the form of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit knocks at your door this morning, and He says, "Look, you're a sinner. You need a Savior. I want to point you to the one, the only one that can make a difference. The light that Brother Wendell sang about a moment ago. Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are not in that valley of sin by yourself. The Holy Spirit is there and He's wooing you, He's begging you, He's asking you to come to the Savior. He says, I'll forgive your sin. I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll prepare a home in heaven for you. And again, you may have come this morning. This may be your first time here. You may have come hundreds of times. You may have heard the gospel story hundreds and hundreds of times, but you've never responded to it. This morning, would you? You're in the valley of sin. You're not alone. God is there with you, and He's asking you to be saved. He's pleading with you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you do that this morning? I'll guarantee you there's not a better decision that you can make. I'll guarantee you if you go up and down the aisles and you talk to people that have been saved, I don't care if they've only been saved for a week or if they've been saved for decades, they will tell you the best decision that they ever made in their whole life was that time when they asked Jesus to be their Savior. Best decision they ever made. It's the best decision that you can ever make. You're in the valley of sin. You're not alone. God's there with you. He wants you to be saved. There are some Christians here this morning that have that may have slidden back into that valley of sin. I was talking to a man in our church a couple weeks ago, and he was backslidden, and he says, "You know what? I've got to come back." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because there ain't no joy living like this. And once you're a child of God, there is no joy sliding back into sin." And I'm glad God put a verse in the Bible, 1 John 1:9, that says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning, if you're a Christian and you're dwelling in that valley of sin, you've got somebody there beside you that says, come on, let's get out of here. Let's get back to where we're supposed to be. Let's get back on the straight and narrow way, and let's live for God. Valley of sin, the valley of sin. You do not dwell in that valley by yourself. God is there with you. He goes through that valley with us. The second one we'll mention to you is the valley of Eshcol. That was that valley just inside the promised land, just inside the land of Canaan. You remember when the Israelites got ready to go in, and that Moses sent out 12 spies. And they went and surveyed the land. They came back and gave a report. And part of their report was they went to the valley of Eshcol and they picked some grapes. Now these must have, and they picked a big cluster of grapes. And they were big grapes because one man couldn't carry them by themselves. They put this cluster on a pole and two men carried the grapes of Eshcol back to show the people. The valley of Eshcol is the valley of decision. The valley of decision. And there are people here this morning that are in the valley of Eshcol. You face decisions. You have to make a decision about something in your life. You have to make a decision. And by the way, I will tell you, I know there's a lot of small, simple decisions we make every day, but there are people in this room that face life-changing decisions. Something you have to decide on in the next few days, in the next few weeks. I want you to know that you are not in that valley by yourself. You are in that valley with a God in heaven who knows the future. You are in that valley of decision with a God that knows how and has a plan for how He wants things to turn out. You're in that valley of decision with a God that if you go to Him and ask, He will tell you the decision that you need to make, and that decision will be the decision that will keep you on that straight and narrow way and get you to where God wants you to be in your life. Man, I'm glad we got a God that just doesn't let us wander through life. I'm glad we got a God that just doesn't let us go with the flow of things. I'm glad we've got a God that has a plan for our life, a place that He wants us to get. I know some of you are saying, preacher, you don't know, I'm old. God's done with me. And I will tell you what I've told you time after time after time after time. If our God, your God, was done with you, you would be in heaven right now. You would not be here if your God was done with you. The fact that you are still breathing His air, walking on the face of His earth, means that He's got something that He wants you to do. I don't care how young or how old you are. He's got something that He wants you to do. He has a plan for your life. And as you make decisions today and tomorrow and the next day, don't make them by yourself. Depend on the God who wants to help you. He's with us in the Valley of Eshkol. The third valley I will mention to you is called the Valley of Kidron. It's called the Valley of Jehoshaphat today. It's that valley that separates the city of Jerusalem from the Garden of Gethsemane. There's a cemetery there, but that's not the feature of that valley I want to point out to you. The feature I want to point out to you is that the Valley of Kidron was the valley that our Savior walked through as He left the upper room the night before He was crucified. It was that valley that He walked through to get to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Valley of Kidron is a valley of suffering. The valley of suffering. And I want to remind you this morning, I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what burden or heartache that you have this morning. Be it a heartache about one of your children, be it a heartache about a loved one that has a disease that we haven't figured out or God hasn't given us the knowledge to get rid of yet, so we just have to live with it. Be it a financial problem. I mean, there are scores of people in our church that are going through a time of suffering right now. And I want to remind you this morning, you do not dwell in that valley by yourself. We have a God that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have a God that knows exactly what's going on in your life. You know, sometimes we get in this valley and we get the, I'll call it the Elijah complex. There ain't nobody going through this but me. Nobody else has ever suffered the way I've suffered. Nobody else has ever done this. I remember when Elijah said that to God. He said, I'm the only one left. I'm the only prophet you got left. I'm the only one that's standing for truth. God came to him and said, hey, pal, there's 7,000 that hasn't bent the knee to Baal. You ain't the only one left. And when you get in that valley of suffering and you think nobody knows what you're going through, nobody knows what your problem is, there may not be another man or woman that knows what you're going through, but there is a God that knows exactly what you're going through. And you do not go through it alone. I wish I had time this morning just to share some of the testimonies, some things that have happened this week. And if I get started, I won't get done. Let me just tell you, there, our God has worked in mighty ways this week. You say, you mean He's taken people out of this valley? No. They're still suffering this morning like they were last week. But He sure has made His presence felt in their life. They've been like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Again, I was talking to a person earlier this week that's suffering under. I mean, this person is under it. And you know what they said to me? They said, preacher, if I could, I wouldn't change a thing. I said, why? I said, why wouldn't you? If you could change it, why wouldn't you change it? He says, I've never felt closer to God than I do right now. And if I could, I wouldn't change a thing, because that's where I want to stay, close to Him. I told him, I'm still praying you get better. I don't care what you think. But that's what God does. He puts us in those times of suffering. And again, there's people sitting in this room this morning that think, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows the trials and the heartaches that I'm going through. I want to tell you, when those things come into a Christian's life, we ought to rejoice, because we have a God that says, okay, we're going to get close. We're going to get close. I got to hurry. Number four, the Valley of Elah. The Valley of Elah, I like this one, because this valley was where a loudmouth Philistine came and started cursing God, and a little teenage boy without a sword or a shield or any armor took his little slingshot and went and killed that Philistine giant with one shot right between the eyes. Guess he didn't kill him, knocked him out, and then he went over and drew that giant's sword out of his out of its sheath and cut the giant's head off. The Valley of Elah is a valley of battle. It's a valley where you, where God puts us in these valleys where we have to fight. We have to fight for what we believe. We have to stand for what's right. We have to defend the truth. And again, there are folks in this room that this week have had to stand for God and had to take a stand for God and not worry about what their boss was going to say and not worry about what their coworkers were going to say. They decided to stand and say, no, I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to be faithful in my testimony, and I'm going to be the kind of ambassador that God wants me to be. You may be in the valley of battle this morning. I want to tell you something. Just like David said, he said to Goliath, you come to me in your strength. You come to me with a shield. You come to me with your sword. You come to me with all the things that, that champions take into battle. David says, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Goliath said, hey, I'm going to feed you to the birds. And David said, no, you got it backwards, big boy. The birds are going to be eating you. And in the valley of battle, you just remember that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I've read the last chapter of this book, and even though it seems at times we may be losing, even though it seems at times the devil is winning, I want to tell you something. The devil in the end is going to be the loser. He is going to be cast into hell to live forever. And Christ is going to rule and reign. So if you're in the valley of battle this morning, you're not alone. Number five is the valley of Achor. That was the place where the Israelites took Achan when he stole the things from Jericho. And they, for him and his family, stoned him with stones and burned him with fire. It's the valley of punishment. The valley of punishment. There are times when we step outside the bounds where our Heavenly Father says, I have to get my belt out. I have to discipline you. And I'm glad that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us enough that when we step over the line, He gets the switch out, said, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you, but I got to get you back inside the line. You know, when I was a kid, I always looked at my dad when he said that to me, this is going to, he didn't use a switch. You've heard my story before. He had a razor strop. Some of you are young, you don't know what a razor strop is. That was a big belt that the barbers kept beside their chair, and they sharpened the straight razor before they shaved you. I don't know where my dad got one, but he got one. And whenever my brothers or I would get out of line, he'd get that razor strap out, and he said, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. And I can remember being a kid looking at my dad and says, you're crazy, man. I'm the one on the receiving end of that razor strap. How is it going to hurt you worse than it hurts me? And then I became a dad. And I realized, the only way, the only chance that we had to get the kids to turn out right was that when they stepped over the bounds was to get them back in the bounds. When they stepped over the line was to get them back on the other side of the line. And I can remember telling my kids the same thing, and I'm sure they said, yeah, Dad, sure, and I heard you. But I tell you what, you that are dads and moms that have had to issue discipline to your children know exactly what I'm talking about. When God has to punish us, we need to remember that verse that's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, where the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He chasteneth. And if you're in the valley of punishment this morning, understand you're not there alone. Number six, the valley of Jezreel. The important thing that's going to happen in this valley hasn't happened yet. In the end of time, the armies of the east and the south and the north and the west are going to gather in this valley. The Antichrist is going to raise up and lead that army against in a battle called the Battle of Armageddon. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to lead the other army. And in that Battle of Armageddon, the forces of evil are going to be defeated by the forces of God. God's going to take old Satan and cast him into hell, into the lake of fire, forever and ever and ever and ever. So the Battle of Jezreel is a battle of victory. You know, some of the toughest times we have as Christians, remembering that we need to depend on God, is when everything is going right. When we see victories in our life, where nothing breaks and we're getting along good and we got a good job and we can pay the bills, and if we're not careful, like talked about in Sunday school for a little bit this morning, if we're not careful when we see victory in our life, we forget and take for granted the God who gives us every victory, who gives us every blessing. And I'll remind you this morning that even in the battle of, or in the valley of victory, our God is there. And then number seven, the last valley, is the valley of Gehenna. It was a valley also outside of Jerusalem. It was the garbage dump of Jerusalem. You would take your garbage and you would throw it into this valley, and there were fires that were burning all the time. It was a place that had a terrible odor. It was a place that was often hot because of all the fires that were going on. And when Jesus talked about hell and taught about hell, oftentimes he compared it to the valley of Gehenna. It's a valley of death. David said in the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death." You see, as a Christian, that's all we're going to experience of this valley. A shadow. Not the real thing. I mean, it'll look to the world like the real thing, but to us, it'll just be a shadow. A father, and I can't remember, this was in one of our Sunday school lessons of late. A father was walking with his little girl, and he had just lost his wife, the little girl's mother, and they were walking down a street, and a big truck came by, and the shadow of that truck went through them, so to speak. And the little girl was still sad about her mother, and her dad was trying to teach her that as a Christian, we only go through that shadow of death. We don't experience what people that don't know Jesus Christ experience. And so he used the occasion as a moment to teach. He said, "Honey, let me ask you a question. What would you rather be hit with? Would you rather be hit with that shadow of that truck that just hit us? Or would you rather be hit by the truck itself?" And the little girl said, "Well, Daddy, that's an easy question to answer. I wouldn't want to be hit by the truck. That would hurt a lot. But both of us were just hit by the shadow of the truck, and it didn't hurt at all." And the daddy told his little girl, he said, "That's what happened to Mommy. She only got hit by the shadow of death, because as a Christian, she didn't have to go through the real thing." That's why that verse is in 1 Corinthians. And I won't quote it, Ron. I always get it mixed up. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? As Christians, we don't have to face the sting of death, because we're only going to go through the shadow. It's going to look like we died. I mean, our body's going to quit working. And we're going to lay in a casket unless the Lord comes and takes us home before that happens. But you know what? For the Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I've gone to funerals, and I've seen Christians lay in caskets, and I've seen people cry, and I've reminded them, hey, don't cry for the one that's left. They're in heaven. They're with Jesus this morning. We'll cry for ourselves because we miss them, but not for them. Let me ask you this morning, if you were to die this afternoon, if you got hit by a truck this afternoon, what would you walk through? Would you walk through the valley of death, or would you walk through the shadow of the valley of death? The thing that makes a difference, the only thing that makes a difference, is do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If you do, you're only going to have to go through the shadow. But if you don't, you got to go into that valley by yourself. God doesn't go there. It's too late at that point. Don't you believe for a minute these people say, well, after you die, you get a second chance. I don't see that anywhere in my Bible. If you're going to decide for Christ, you have to do it before you draw your last breath. Otherwise, you'll walk through that valley of death by yourself. If you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you do it this morning? I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join our church. I'm asking you to get saved. I'm asking you to get your sins forgiven. I'm asking you to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm asking you to trust Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary to take care of all your sins. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gospel.